Type BC.
Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. This is Reba Hass of Team Reba.
And this is Eric Assis of Home Street Bank.
And we have the lovely and wonderful and knowledgeable Tamara Simon from Cost Property Management here with us.
Yeah, welcome back, Tamara.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm so excited you're back here. You started sliding into the conversation we were going to have, and it's like, yes, she's been on the show several times, but this is a follow-up. We actually made a special arrangement to have her come back as quickly as we could get her on our calendar, because about 6 weeks ago, we were talking about what the Seattle City Council was thinking about, and now you have all the updates of what actually happened, right?
Correct.
So talk about this interest-free loan that Eric mentioned right before the break.
So first, what it's called is First in Time. And what the city council did, and remember, the idea here is they think they're helping renters. But the problem is all of these things they're doing is actually moving small landlords out of the business.
Driving them out.
And quite frankly, housing affordability comes from small landlords,
mm-hmm.
people who have single-family houses or 10 units or less.
Mm-hmm.
And as you drive those people out of the business, you get replaced with people who have REITs or who are developers going to build new construction, and that's not affordable housing. So this first-in-time ordinance says that you have to take the first applicant. Now, what that means is best practices has always been for most landlords in this area to take the first qualified applicant. 95% of success in having rental property is to have the right tenant.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, like any other business, you want to make sure that you're successful. So, first qualified tenant. But somehow now, this first-in-time ordinance says the first person who shows up and gives you an application, you have to accept with a limited criteria that the Seattle City Council is trying to set. For example, one of the criteria is income. It just makes sense. If your rent's going to be $1,000 a month, a standard has been usually you're looking for an income of three times that, so an income
mm-hmm.
of $3,000 a month,
sure.
right? But the Seattle City Council has changed that, and they said you have to look at alternate sources of income. For example, people on Section 8 or people who get disability or Social Security, something else. Now, again, standard practice has usually been for most landlords to look at that as acceptable income. However, the little key switch here with the Seattle City Council is, let's say the rent's $1,000. And $700 of that is going to be paid by Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to qualify three times $1,000. You just have to qualify three times $300. Because they're looking at that as a rent reduction. So that means you just have to make $900 a month to qualify for this property. Here's the problem. It's just common sense. Doesn't mean you'll have any money for food, doesn't mean you'll have any money for utilities, doesn't mean you'll have any money for a bus pass or transportation. I can go on and on and on.
And as a landlord myself who's worked with Section 8 sometimes, and not just Section 8, I've had other people that, if my brother hasn't applied the right kind of financial review into a tenant, guess what? I become the person who funds the, let's say their glasses broke, they went back to school and needed books, they needed cat sand because they decided to get a cat without her permission. There's all kinds of things that suddenly the landlord, guess what? They're paying for.
And so you want success as a landlord for your own property, which is your business, by the way,
mm-hmm.
right? And you also want success for the tenant.
Of course.
This is going to cause more evictions. That's the bottom line. And it's not a good thing for anybody, certainly not doesn't help affordable housing. Now more people will have evictions on their record. It'll be costly for the landlord and costly for a tenant because they have to move. And it just wreaks havoc. It doesn't solve the problem for affordable
housing. Okay, so Tamara, let me rephrase that. So let's say I have first applicant in is exactly what you indicated, and maybe we've got some rent coming from Section 8. We've got some coming from, you know, from their, we'll say it's the $300 difference, so I have to show $900 income. Second tenant comes in line and applies, and they work at Boeing, and they make $3,000 a month. I have to take applicant number one?
Correct.
Now I can still do a background check?
Yes.
You can still do a background check, but that's not the issue, right? And so the Seattle City Council is setting up a limited criteria for landlords. And so about how we can do these checks and what we need to do. Also, it puts all the onus on you to say this was the first applicant.
Right.
So these need to be stamped. What if you wanted to have an open house, which is a common method I use for showing.
And a lot of people around here right now.
Or, for example, if I say I'm showing the property Monday between 5:30 and 6:30. Mm-hmm. And you know why I do that? Because the 30 years I've been in property management, 50% of the time when people make an appointment with me,
they don't show up. That's right. I agree.
Happens all the time.
Absolutely.
They don't show up. So number one, it's a better use of my time as a business person.
Right.
Right?
Agreed.
To make appointments, to have an open house, or to say the showing's at 5:30, and perhaps have three or four or five people who say they're coming, at least one might show up.
That's right. And so... All right. So even and I understand this. I'm assuming that the spirit of this rule is to avoid discrimination. I'm assuming that that's the spirit of this. Either discrimination based on income or any other prohibited factor.
The spirit of this, there's a tremendous amount of laws to avoid discrimination already.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it was best practices in the industry to take the first qualified tenant.
Yeah.
The spirit of this is supposedly to help low-income tenants so they have a better chance at the market.
Mm-hmm.
That's, at finding housing. That's the intent, I believe, of the Seattle City Council and the people who spearhead this. But they just don't think it through. I like to say it's kind of like if you've been shot and you're bleeding profusely, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to die. So instead of removing the bullet and correcting the surgery you need, you put a Band-Aid on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Seattle City Council is doing. They're trying to appease tenants because we do have a housing problem in this city.
Sure.
But the methods they're using are simply going to have the patient die.
Got it. Okay, now, about this interest-free loan.
Well, so there's more to the first in time.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Okay. There used to be some people who would use a preferred employee program, like if you were a Microsoft employee.
Mm-hmm.
That's not allowed anymore. And quite frankly, I don't see a problem with that.
What exactly is that?
It means that if you worked for Microsoft, for example, you might get a discount on your rent or a move-in special. You were preferred.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one issue I really don't have an issue with.
Mm-hmm.
But for current tenants to accept a pledge from a charity or subsidy to pay the tenant's housing or legal fees with some conditions could be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
There are programs, unlike Section 8, that only give you a temporary voucher for like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, you're forcing me as a landlord to say, oh, yeah, you qualify because you have this 3-month subsidy, but you have no job.
Right.
Or you have a job that doesn't come near the rent. This is really a recipe for disaster. So now let's move on to landlords being the Bank of America with interest-free loans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Can I actually go back to that thing a second? Because I'm also a member of Rental Housing Association, and I know one of the things that is a requirement around here is that you need to tell people what the qualifying requirements are.
Well, that's also more new law that's been expanded, by the way.
Right.
You have to do that in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the tenants.
So people know what they're being compared to.
Well, yeah, it's the Tenants Protection Ordinance, and it requires Seattle landlords to give the tenants info on their rights and obligations for rent increases, and as well as what your criteria is.
Right.
The problem is right now is that the city council is trying to create that criteria.
Oh, so, interesting, instead of letting the landlord
instead
do
of landlords, right.
Yeah, because I know like when I have my tenants, we actually put out there, it's like, here's what the percentage of income needs to be for you. Here's also all of our policies about drugs, pets, you know, all manner of things, and what kind of background checks we're going to do on them, that kind of thing. And in some cases, people are like, oh, well, if you're going to do that, no, I'm not going to go ahead and move forward.
So I just want to remind everybody, why is somebody a landlord? Why do people invest in investment
right.
property? And it's very simple, particularly for small landlords. Mm-hmm. We're trying to create a retirement for us.
Right, it's passive income streams and potential future.
Right. There's very few methods in this country right now. Very few of us get a pension anymore mm-hmm. unless we're a government worker.
Right.
And the interest rate on savers, the federal government is penalizing savers and seniors, by the way, because mm-hmm. you get less than 1%. So there's a lot of money that's going into real estate that normally mm-hmm. would not, quite frankly, because interest rates are low to borrow money,
right?
And you have very few methods to save money. So let's say the house represents the majority of your retirement. Let's just say that's $350,000.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just hand that $350,000 to anybody?
No, of course not.
No. But that's what the Seattle City Council is asking right. us to do, basically.
Right.
And, by the way, they want to put a cap on what we can require for deposit.
Yep.
And it has to, and it's very – now most landlords would consider a full month's rent a deposit. Generally. So if the property rents for $1,500, the deposit's $1,500.
Yeah.
The city council wants to change that and wants to allow the tenant to pay that over a six-month period, and the landlord gets to loan him that money at an interest-free loan.
Sweet. Okay. So you said over 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to collect first month mm-hmm. and a damage deposit...
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to collect that the way the wording is right now. Though this hasn't passed mm-hmm. yet, but that what they're trying to say is that it would be a small percentage.
A small percentage. Okay. Well, let's
we'll learn a little bit more
bank
about
that small percentage, and when we come back, we've got more horrific Halloween tales from the Seattle City Council. Stay tuned for more.
Halloween Fright Night.
Open House with Team Reba.
You're listening to Open House with Team Reba. We'll return in a moment.